This is a replay of the Thursday night, February 12th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from One VoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together tonight. If it's on your mind, I promise it'll be on mine, providing it has no particular import whatsoever. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh is the number. And last night, as the show was going off, we finally got to Chris in Greenwood. And just about the time he was asking his question, I started to answer it. The show was over. And he was on hold for so long, I said, be my first caller tonight, and we'll talk all about Conelrad. That was his desired subject, and we're going to do that. So, Chris and Greenwood, welcome back to WGN Radio. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing, Raleigh?
All right. So, Conelrad.
Yeah.
Let's go back before that. As you know, finding a target, when the enemy was looking for a target, there were far too few ways that were reliable, but one of them was by tracing radio signals. And that's why during the war, people were instructed to turn off their radios, you know, in Germany and places like that where bombing was active. Well, so anyway, the war ends, and now we have the Cold War, and everybody in the latter 40s are thinking that the ICBMs are going to crest the pole, so to speak, and that, you know, we'll be bombed to smithereens. So the question became how to alert the public of a nuclear attack without allowing the enemy to trace the signal. So there was the task. And the answer in 1951 under Truman was Conelrad. And the way Conelrad worked is there were two designated frequencies, 640 and 1240, and that's why anybody who has an old AM radio sees those little triangles by the 6 and the 12, and that's what that is. However, what would happen, stations would broadcast emergency instructions a few minutes at a time with different stations shutting down and restarting so that listeners would hear the message, but it wouldn't be coming from the same transmitter locations. And so that was the purpose, and that was the design of it. So, what questions do you have?
Yeah, and it's all right. They didn't alert nobody for, like, tornadoes and severe weather back then.
Well, actually, the first alerts was for a tornado, that and for Pearl Harbor, but that predates Conelrad. No, the system was not meant for public benefit for, you know, emergencies like weather or stuff like this. It was literally focused on what everybody was afraid of at the time in the Cold War, that, you know, we were going to be bombed to smithereens by the enemy, and that's why, you know, they were selling bomb shelters and all that that kind of stuff. So it was a relatively simple system. It was December of 1941 that they came up with it, and everybody was involved in this, to say the FCC and everybody else, to come up with something. And so a station would shut off for 5 seconds, return to the air for 5 seconds, shut down again for 5 seconds, and return to the air for 5 seconds, and then they transmitted the 1 kilohertz tone for 15 sections. And key stations that, you know, like akin to the LP1s today, would be alerted first, and then the other broadcast stations would monitor them. And it was in a designated situation and a designated order that they would take over. And that was the deal. And so in the event of a real emergency, all television and FM radio stations were required to stop broadcasting entirely. And so there weren't that many, of course, in 1951. Not a real big.
Mostly AM.
Yes, well, that's what they wanted. So most of the AM medium wave stations would shut down, and so the stations that stayed on the air would transmit on 640 or 1240, and again, not continuously. They transmit for a few minutes and then go off the air. Another station would take over on the same frequency, kind of like a round robin, and that was to confuse enemy aircraft who might be navigating using radio direction finding. And so, by law, any radio that was manufactured between 1953 and 1963 had those triangles by those two frequencies.
Yeah, and they're very expensive to get, right? Even if it's antique.
Oh, to get the radios? No, well, a lot of old radios you can still get fairly inexpensively. In fact, if you look at eBay, you can find a bunch of them.
They still have radios from 1963 have those triangles.
Oh, yeah.
Even to after September of 63.
Yeah. Yeah, and some did actually a little after that, too. You know, manufacturing doesn't catch up immediately. But, you know, if you wanted to buy, say, a Zenith Royal series, a 275 or whatever, you could go to eBay and do that inexpensively. The radios are cheap to buy. They don't do anything anymore because, of course, those frequencies no longer are part of what is now EAS.
And, you know, they had some TV specials that had, those tunnel rats on there, like Atomic Attack. That's a prime example because they used the radio and they alerted on that show.
Well, in the event they thought a real atomic attack was happening, all television and all FM had to sign off immediately. Then there was the rules.
Yeah, you know, ABC, they took a step forward in doing stuff like that. Well, and, you know, NBC or CBS couldn't do it, but I think ABC, it was a weak station, and they was brave enough to have that show called Atomic Attack.
I don't know any idea what Atomic Attack is, but I guarantee you it wasn't part of the Connell Rad system.
But it was just a show, and it had Walter Matthau on it.
Okay, they're always going to have a bunch of shows, of course. But, you know, it's actually an interesting point in history. While we now know that the fear in the Cold War was beyond far from overblown, it was huge in terms of there was much about nothing, to say the least. But the idea of coming up with something that could serve the public and not be detected, that was, you know, a sound idea, but Connell Rad was basically an unsound system. It was prone toward false alarms, especially during lightning storms. And the other thing is that the transmitters back then could be damaged by the quick cycling. And so, you know, in fact, that was true even with EBS, the early EBS. We used to call it the EBS stress test. But regardless, that was the deal. In 57, amateur radio hams came under Connell Rad rules, and amateur stations were also required to stop transmitting if any commercial radio stations went off the air due to an alert. So the whole thing was about making sure that the enemy could not track you, but the public would be aware.
Yeah, and you know, there's some 1240 radio stations, you remember WKDK in Newberry?
Yeah, I know there are. I own one, 1240 AM KJAA. I own it. So there's a lot of 1240.
Yeah,
it's a little, you know.
That's their actual station.
Yeah, these are.
You can tune to it, and they get interrupted by it.
Yes, of course. If you might broadcast normally on that frequency, but if you were not the primary when the emergency was happening, you had to sign off. Somebody else was going to take that frequency and broadcast. So, of course. That is.
Yeah, but 1450, they don't do Connell Rad. They just tell you to tune to it.
That's right. Of course, that was the whole point. All the stations were told. All the messages told. In the event of an emergency, tune to 640 or 1240. I mean, you may not be old enough to remember hearing them, but if you do, you know that was the message.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course.
And, you know, even TV stations had Connell Rad, too.
Well, no, TV stations had to sign off. They would you know, basically alert do the alert and then sign off. The whole purpose was no FM, no television, no ham radio later, so that there were very few frequencies that could be tracked.
And AM stayed on.
Well, AM stayed on with regard to the Daisy Wheel, fashion I told you about. Stations would be on for 5 minutes on 12:40 or 6:40, and then they'd be off. It was a round robin thing.
You know, KFOR was the first station in the country that had a tornado, the first tornado warning.
Yeah. And this predates Conelrad as far as that goes. That was Oklahoma City. And about 75 years or more? Yeah, it was a while ago. So, yes, indeed.
Yeah, and what if Conelrad works today in this age?
It doesn't work. They got rid of it fairly quickly. As I say, it was prone to false alarms and other problems. You just didn't need to go that way. Now, currently we use the EAS system, and the EAS system is having its issues right now, big time. And the reason is that in many areas, the counties in their emergency services division don't have anybody who understands the emergency system, doesn't understand broadcast, and so they're not doing the tests or any of the announcements. And this is a problem that's being addressed right now. There's a system online, CAP IPAWS, to get alerts that way. But the reality is that in a real emergency, you know, when the missiles were coming, there wouldn't be any online. So stations that are now monitoring online sources for their EAS, they might as well quit right now. And the FCC, thank God, is aware of this and is cleaning it up. Basically, county by county. That's why I got a call last month from Arizona saying, "Would you be our LP1?" And I'll be your LP1. So we are now, because our county stopped doing the announcements years ago. They don't know how. They don't want to. They want no part of it. So the only problem is, of course, if you're going to be an LP1 and you don't have enough coverage signal wise for a whole county, you got to get somebody at the other end of the county to do this as well. And so it's intricate, but it works much better than Conelrad.
Yeah, and then you also have NOAA weather radios that alert you.
Well, yeah, that's a whole different subject if you're talking about weather alerts. Completely different from the kind of alerts you'd be dealing with, when the missiles were heading in this direction. So, yes, of course, NOAA weather radio is still perfectly fine. One of the other problems is that for stations of course, are required to carry these alerts and all that, the primary manufacturer of the equipment has stopped manufacturing it. And they're still servicing it, but they're not making it. Now, on top of that, a lot of the great radios that were made for public service frequencies aren't made anymore. I'm not talking about NOAA weather at all, so don't even go there. But in terms of the
police scanners,
yeah, well, yes, but that doesn't work necessarily. And of course, many of those are truncated now in different ways. So no, you can't use a police scanner. And so there are a lot of issues on this. But in terms of using the internet, which a lot of stations would like to take the shortcut and do that, it defeats the entire system.
Yeah, because you know you got cable TV, and you know, like if you watch it locally,
in a real emergency, you won't have cable TV. This is the whole point. You will not have anything that requires any infrastructure like electricity. You know, you will not have the internet. You will not have, you know, back in the early Bell telephone days, you probably would have had telephone, but that's not the way it works anymore. So you would not. So the idea of having these messages on radio is crucial to the safety of the American public in the event anything like that was ever going to happen. So,
they battery operated and they don't set off.
Well, absolutely, they're battery operated. And, you know, I mean, a lot of the things, like we talk about the Seacrane companies, are also solar power, and you can even hand crank them. So that's the system today.
One thing at Seacrane, they don't have those triangles like back in the day.
Well, nobody does, because after the end of 63, manufacturers didn't have to have the CD mark. And so usually it was a white or a red triangle with C and D in it in a triangular form, sure. But after that, they weren't there. And they won't come into play. Those frequencies mean nothing more than any other frequency anymore. What would happen, you know, what would happen, of course, is the stations would carry whatever the LP1 was, which could be a county, not a radio station, but many counties don't have the staff that understands broadcast. All right.
Yeah, but what if a station, like, fails to test their EAS system, they get fined?
Well, big time. You get fined, but now, you know, there are tests every week, and then there are monthly tests that you have to retransmit. You have to log this stuff. I strongly suggest that everybody look every week and rectify their logs on everything, make sure everything's running. But yeah, if suddenly you stop doing the tests, and I've known broadcasters who have, that can be a whale of a fine, yes.
Yeah, because that happened to you last week, because the EAS came on during your show.
Well, no, that didn't happen to me. That was WGN. That will always happen. And unfortunately, in Illinois, they send them virtually at the same time every month. It's usually like 12:40 a.m. and then the next month 12:40 p.m. I think they'd be better off mixing it up. They shouldn't always appear at the same time, but they do. So every other month,
like at night time,
yeah, every
you
other
pick up a lot
right.
of AM stations. You can catch those EAS on different stations like WLAC, WGN, WCBS, and all of them, like out of state.
Hopefully, you'll never have to worry about it. But now you know. All right, good to talk to you, Chris.
Happy Valentine's Day. I'm still single.
Yes, you too. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, like I said, last month they interviewed 3,000 Arizona couples and 68% of them said they preferred fast food for Valentine's Day. Oh, let the fight begin. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh on WGN Radio. Oh, that's right, and it's right in front of me, too. See, Adam keeps me sane, and he even told me, he said, you know, first break, read this. It's right in front of me. So I will. Here I go. Chevy Drive Chicago is giving you the chance to win the car you want. It's pick it, win it, drive it from Chevy Drive Chicago. Four great choices from which to pick. Need a dependable truck? Pick the Silverado. Ready to go EV? The Equinox EV is perfect. Want an SUV? The Blazer or the Equinox is what you need. Entering is easy. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. In the meantime, shop your pick at your local Chevy dealer, proud official partner of your Chicago Bears.
Just a dream, just a dream.
Just a dream.
All our plans and all our schemes. I think you'd be mine.
You'd be mine.
Lies I tell myself each time. I know that we could never last.
Never last.
Just can't seem to end the past.
In the past.
Just a dream I dreamed in vain. Is always with me. I can still hear that same mournful song. And now I sit here crying. Please leave me alone. Oh, why do I love you?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, one of the few white boys on Ace. More Jimmy Clanton after we played Venus in Blue Jeans last night. Robert and LaGrange said, but I want to hear Just a Dream. Yes, absolutely. And arguably a bigger record. I never looked at the sales, but both signature songs for him. All right, after the news, we'll hopefully hear from you. We'll play the rest of your requests, maybe some of Jimmy P's six-pack and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Now you're here next.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, last night, Dee Dee called from Milwaukee. We were talking about Spoolies, and she said, I want to hear the Fifth Dimension working on a groovy thing, and I would willing to oblige. You know, that's a cover, and a lot of people think it's the other way around, if they're aware of the original version, thinking that maybe the original covered the Fifth Dimension, but it's not. The original came out a year earlier in 1968 on Capitol, and of course, there is a Chicago connection, because it was Patty Drew, and yeah, not a hit, but I thought it was a better record. So I'll leave it to you to decide, as usual.
When I saw you, I knew that I was gonna love you. And every day I thought, oh, how I'm gonna love you. Now you're here next to me, and ecstasy is a reality. I feel good when you are near. I'm so alive 'cause you are near. Working on a groovy thing.
Yeah, but it did absolutely nothing. Neil Sedaka wrote it with Roger Atkins, if I didn't mention that before, I have now. A lot of people covered that record, at least album cuts, tons of people, everybody from Barbara Lewis to, well, Neil Sedaka, actually, on one of his albums, but David Rose, an instrumental version thereof, and Mongo Santa Maria. Yeah, had an entire album working on a groovy thing. So I think Johnny Hammond had that on Breakout also. But anyway, 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And I was talking about the weirdest things that Americans once thought were great ideas. And many of them actually came to market. Some of them were before their time. Some of them, well, the baby cage. We can start with that. Yes, wire cages to attach to apartment windows outdoors, baby cages to allow infants to get fresh air when outdoor space was unavailable. Some models were guaranteed to safely hold up to 30 pounds. Yes, alarming to say the least. Obviously, they didn't last long. Safety concerns were major. But the designs inspired some of the baby-proofing nets that are used today. But back in the day, the baby cage, someone thought this was a good idea, and someone else was willing to market it. Now, I particularly like this one from the 1860s. And it passed the tests, but it never actually made it to market. But I thought it was fascinating. The pneumatic subway. We're not talking about the trains. We're talking about the people. And yes, apparently an entrepreneur, Alfred Beach, was trying to prove the feasibility of a human-sized pneumatic subway system beneath New York City, capable of moving both people and cargo using nothing more than air pressure. Can you even imagine? There was a prototype set up as a public attraction. I bet it was. And it carried passengers along a tunnel. Tunnel was about 300 feet long from a station to a dead end. And it actually had initial success because it worked. But ultimately, the idea of pushing people along pneumatically created bureaucratic obstacles and high costs. So therefore, it was functional, but largely forgotten as far as that goes. The first metal detector. Now, that was interesting because it was good old Alexander Graham Bell. And what it was there was an assassination attempt on President James Garfield. And so Bell decided he was going to build a metal detector to locate the bullet lodged in Garfield's body. And the device functioned largely as intended, but it was unable to find the bullet from the metal springs on the bed in which the president was lying. So despite the setback, this early invention really proved the concept and directly influenced the development of modern metal detectors. So that was it. But of all of them, this might be my favorite. The pet-powered butter churn. What could possibly go wrong? Well, it did. What it was, 19th century, an American farmer rigged a tread wheel for dog, cats, or goats, or hamsters, to generate kinetic energy to churn butter. The animal inside ran inside the wheel, and you know, you always see the pictures of the hamsters doing that, turning a rope or pulley connected to the churn. Now, technically this is functional, but you're probably ahead of me on what the problem could possibly be. That's right. The animal wasn't always in the mood. So if the animal was not willing to cooperate, there was no churning going on. Right. The one-wheel motorcycle, and this was 1971, and apparently an American inventor built and refined a monowheel, one-wheeled motorized vehicle in which the rider and the engine all sit inside the wheel's circumference. Yeah, since then various attempts have been made to build on the original design, but to call it a niche vehicle would probably be giving it more than it deserves. But not only are all the issues that come to mind valid here, but the riders must be highly skilled to simply stay upright or maybe turn it on. The first talking doll. Yeah. Now, those of you who are baby boomers will remember the first talking doll being Chatty Cathy. Well, long before Chatty, 1890, none other than Thomas Edison embedded a miniature Victrola. I'm not making this up. In one of his, the phonograph was very popular, but he embedded the phonograph inside dolls so the dolls could recite nursery rhymes. Innovative, right? Well, you're probably ahead of me on this too. The technology clearly was not there. So the recordings, well, of course they were fragile, but if they played at all, they were distorted. The dolls were pulled from the market within a week. Customer complaints. It was one of Edison's rare commercial failures. But yeah, how about the glass harmonica? And this was Benjamin Franklin. Yeah, well, he was not playing with kites. Redesigned the existing glass harp into a rotating spindle of glass bowls, played by touching the spinning rims with wet fingers, which he called the glass harmonica. And it, I don't know, it was eerie to say the least. Sustained eerie tones, unlike anything else of the era. I'll say, yeah, and so its fragile nature made it impractical to say the least, and the rotating mechanism posed a potential danger if anything went wrong. So yeah, there's a number of things like that, and nothing wrong with inventions, but sometimes they just flat out don't work. So there you have it. Now, some of them, of course, go on to, the horse diaper never went anywhere. Oh, yeah. And this was a big issue, as you probably know, at the turn of the previous century, the 1890s to 1900s, horses were in great abundance as a means of transportation, but they also were not ecologically sound. They were a mess, actually, and because they would go where they wanted to go, and there were no questions about it, and so there were a lot of plans to try and clean up the infrastructure, and that's right, and also do something for the horses. So what they decided to reduce disease and street filth was to diaper the horses. And this saw limited use, largely because automobiles were starting to rapidly appear. But similar designs are still occasionally used in modern veterinary practice. But, you know, if the guy came up with it 50 years earlier, he might have had something there. So some of the weirdest things that Americans once thought were terrific ideas. 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH on WGN Radio.
So you told all the boys that you were gonna take me out. Even had the nerve to make a bet. Yes, you did. Me for a punch. Oh.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Etta James. Who else? Yes, 1963 on Argo, and Tony Clark, the guy who did The Entertainer, and Billy Davis, of course. Billy Roquel Davis knew so much as far as writing. I probably don't even need to tell you. And he was Berry Gordy's brother-in-law and Jackie Wilson's cousin and all that kind of stuff. They wrote it. The only other artist I know who did Pushover was Wanda Jackson, like 50 years later. And I don't know what to tell you. I'll try to find that if you want to. But it was Fran who had requested Pushover, and I think I like most everything Etta James does, and particularly that. So I'm glad she requested it, and I hope you liked it. 888-876-5593. David is in Chicago. All right, David, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Good evening. How are you?
I'm here. How about you?
I'm doing good. It's been a while since I called you. It's been probably over a year, and mostly because I have whenever I try to listen, I tend to fall asleep because I got to get up for work in the morning.
But this is really good.
Your program.
No, if I can put you to sleep, I consider that a public service. No, sleep is sacred. So by all means, congratulations. Sleep on.
Yeah, but the reason I was calling because I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but we get a lot of callers, including myself, who are visually challenged and have blindness, and that does cause a lot of anxiety, which a lot of times I have because not because I've accepted it, because if it's challenging for certain things that you do, like when you're trying to navigate, it gets a little, especially if you're out in public and especially when you don't know if someone's going to come at you or if you're going to trip on something, that's one of the things that you probably well know. So what I had just found out, I went on YouTube and I had come across, a video, it's called MediaPass.com, and it has a, actor, who played on the series the Roseanne and the Connors. I don't know, you don't watch much TV, but I don't know if you've ever seen this show.
No, but you say MediaPass.com because I'm looking it up and it's not coming up.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. But then, but then the young actor who was on the Roseanne show, who the dark haired kid, his name is Michael Fishman. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay. So what about him?
He has co-founded a website which it deals with people that have that have anxiety and depression and amongst other things, and what they do is on Mondays they have forums where people can they have a topic that you can talk about whatever's going on, and tonight they had a what they call Mental Health Monday. So whatever I think they were talking about self control and being in control and how do you handle it. Well, they're not it's not doing psychology per se, but they can provide resources. But they just talk where you can talk and kind of get stuff off your chest, kind of like what you do on your show, pretty much.
Well, I found Media Path PATH. .com.
Oh, MediaPath.
That may be what you're talking about because there is a podcast with Fishman. He was on that. So looking for more, but MediaPath podcast. Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm. But then, tonight they had a talk it out, session where people could just say, hey, whatever's on, ask anything. And then they do these different series and stuff, and which is really neat about that is that anybody can really join this, and then they can take part in the forums. Mm-hmm. And if you want, I don't know if you want to write this down.
Sure.
Go for it. But it's pronounced the THE safe SAFE space SPACE. Collective, collective, .com.
Okay.
And it was really, it's really neat because, and he basically, and he comes on the forums and you can actually talk with him, and he has a another girl he partnered with is this girl Heather, and so they moderate this, and just places you can go, the different forms where you can post things and people reply and all sorts of different things. It's really a great resource if people want to check it out.
Heather Ames is Heather in question. And yes,
Heather Ames,
TheSafeSpaceCollective.com. And I'll be happy to put a link on my little blog on Raleigh.net on this. And it looks good. And yes, Michael Fishman is involved with that. So yes, TheSafeSpaceCollective.com. And looks like they've got a number of things. And it's an easy to navigate site. And it's absolutely free, so nobody needs to worry about that. There's no contracts, there's no long-term commitments. So if one of your issues, if you've got, mental health challenges, if one of them is just, you fear all sorts of things online, which who could blame you, this is one that will not give you a contract and won't cost you any money. So that's great. Now, of course, it's not professional care, and they'll absolutely say you should see a licensed therapist. But nonetheless, for many people, the idea of a community and a safe place where you can share opinions sometimes means even more than therapy. So I'm all for that. So good.
Yeah,
to know.
Exactly, and especially with me, because see, a lot of times now, like with. I don't mind technology, but like one of the things I get frustrated and overwhelmed with, and I don't mind the technology, but now when you have to do all this, like I was going to do a survey for Commonwealth Edison, and they said, okay, here's something, take our survey, and I'm having navigated. I'm like, I can't get through this thing. This is crazy. I had to get off it. I'm like, no, you know what? Forget it. I'm not doing this.
It's a terrible thing online. And even places that say they're accessible, that whoever is designing this does not understand what accessibility means if you can't see the screen. It's that simple. And the real enemy is any GUI, any graphical user interface that, you're not going to be able to have a screen reader read a graphic. So it doesn't help. And, one of the first little internet things that came around years ago was Prodigy in the 80s. And Prodigy was 100% GUI. It was all based on that. And I just had a fit, of course. Not that they listened, but the bottom line is that it's not so hard to make things accessible, but very few web developers take the time to even think it.
And then I think, too, like you were mentioning, I think it was one night where I think you had to go to a Target or a Walmart or something, and you had to use the phone.
Oh my God, yes. I ordered something from Walmart.com. I go to pick it up, and they won't give it to me unless I use my phone. Except I don't have a phone. I know. All of that.
Well, I think
today I had one of those experiences, because a lot of things now are home-based for the workers. And so all of their customer support in various entities is they'll call you. Because, of course, you can't call them. They're at home. And so when I explain that, no, you can't call me, well, that's like asking them to solve the grand unified theory. They just hit control, alternate, delete, and stop thinking. But it's all that way. And no, I don't think that I should have to get a cell phone and be accessible to people. I should be able to dial a number and get somebody on the phone. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think what they need to do, and I really think that this is something, not to get political, but I mean, this is something that maybe both sides in the Capitol need to, pass some kind of legislation to say, okay, if if people want to use, cell phones, online internet, fine, but if you. But if you don't want to, don't make people do it. Let people choose.
Let me tell you about the fly in your ointment, of course. And as you know, in places like China, you're mandated to carry the cell phone at all times.
Right.
And in other countries, Germany, for instance, privacy is important and you own your own identity. Well, in America, you don't own your own identity. So when you're dealing with a credit card company, they own your identity. They own all the things that you charged and all that, and you can't control it, period. And that's an income stream for them. But if you wonder why Congress doesn't do anything, well, who do you think the biggest user of the aggregators like ChoicePoint are? Why get a warrant when you can just get a ChoicePoint report? They're not going to help you. You know, I wish they would, but no, and that's not political because it's all sides of the aisle. There's no exceptions to it. I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. And you've ended the hour, but I'm thrilled that you called, and I hope you will again soon, and I'd like to...
I will again. Yeah. And then real quick, can you play something by Aretha Franklin, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I did last night, but I'll play something else tonight, I promise.
Okay,
thanks.
Well, I'll talk to you again. Sorry, it's been so long.
Yes. Don't make it a habit, but sleep is sacred, so get as much as you can. Okay, bye. All right, so how nice. Good to hear from David. And he's awake. All right, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Can I come home tonight? Darling, let me come home tonight.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the first of Jimmy P's six-pack. Yeah, the Velours, can I come over tonight? Velours were great. They were from Bedford-Stuyvesant area of Brooklyn. And Onyx was a great little label. They did not have a lot of stuff. It wasn't a big output. And it was New York-based. And the Velours, the Joyettes, the Pearls, the Marquises, I'm trying to think of who else. We're almost at the end of the list as far as that goes. And Dean Barlow was on. Who else? I might have just absolutely done their entire discography there, because it's probably less than 30 records. But for doo-wop fans, they just love them. So there you have first of Jimmy P's six-pack, and happy to play it. And yeah, the Velours were the first things that were ever released on Onyx, as far as that. Not this, but My Love Come Back. That was in 56. And then a year later, we came out with, Can I Come Over Tonight? All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And slow night, to say the least. So if you've always wanted to get it off your chest, whatever's on your mind, providing there's no political aspect to it and or anything else that would tend to get people all emotional and upset, well, whatever else, we'll discuss it. Yeah, and of course, somewhere behind me, oh, here it is. I have the Chase's calendar of events. And we'll also have 2020 News. Yeah, my buddy Kevin Gershon and Steve Langford, who do that every night, which is just a lot of work, really. But so we'll play that edition. But yeah, Chase's calendars of events. It's been around forever. And, well, I don't know about forever, but most of my career anyway. And it chronicles pretty much every day. So here we are on February 12th. And I don't look at this often enough, to say the least. And let's see. Yeah, who cares? It's the American Lung Association's Advancement of Science annual meeting. I'm sure that's very nice, but probably not worth mentioning in this particular venue. Tex Beneke, his birthday, yeah, 1914. Glenn Miller's band, if you remember that. What else do we have? All right, no one. Oh, Darwin. All right, that's right, Darwin, February 12th, 1809. The premiere of Dracula, February 12th, 1931, Bela Lugosi at the Roxy Theater in New York City. And it was slated to premiere on Friday the 13th, which of course is hours from now. But as it turned out, the director confessed to a superstitious nature and asked for the opening to be moved a day up. And so it was on Thursday the 12th, which it is this year as well. How about that? So what else? The Berlin International Film Festival. Something tells me you won't be going. Who else? International Darwin Day in honor of his birthday, I guess. And, there's more. I just know. Oh, Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, obviously. That's right, February 12th. And President's Day is coming up. So that's Monday. And so the post offices will be closed and the stock market and all that kind of stuff. And what else? Cotton Mather. Yeah, a lot of people born today. NAACP founded today, February 12th, 1909. And that was obviously W.E. Du Bois. And that's the deal there. What else? Oglethorpe Day. Well, that's General Oglethorpe. All right, well, what else? What else do we have? Anna Pavlova. Yeah, we're reaching now. It's easier to just say Arsenio Hall is 71 today. Yeah, indeed. China Phillips is 58. Man, how time flies. Cliff DeYoung is 79. Josh Brolin is 58. And Maude Adams, 81. Judy Blume, 88. All right, well, so much for the 12th of February. So, 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And what are we going to discuss with Naoto in Japan? What's up, Naoto?
Yeah, I have two things in my mind.
Okay.
Yeah, my first one is that I might know what the SOS stands for.
Whoa, what's going on in your neighborhood?
Oh! Just a moped passes by.
I guess. You must be outside.
Yeah. I'm just walking.
All right. Yeah, you usually don't hear that in people's living room or anything. All right. So what are we discussing?
My first one is, I think I might know what SOS stands for.
You might know what?
What SOS stands for.
Oh, yeah, right. Absolutely. What do you think it stands for?
I think Save Our Souls.
You know, a lot of people do. So I'll tell you the truth. This was one I know. SOS doesn't stand for anything other than did-a-dit, da-da-da, did-a-dit. Three dots, three dashes, three dots. It's the fastest Morse code, and so they use it for an emergency because the code person can write it out or, you know, spell it out, tap it out very quickly. So that's what it is, Morse code.
Oh, I didn't expect that.
Yep, I told you it wouldn't, absolutely. But, you know, it's funny. When I saw this, I thought, my God, here's a question I can actually answer, because usually I can't. But, yeah, That's it.
I think this can be, a Monday Night Trivia question.
Yeah, well, I just thought, you know, you probably could, but someone will look it up. That's the hardest thing about Monday night. Yeah, they can look it up.
Yeah.
I know. So I come up with these.
Yeah, definitely. I think...
Yeah, come up with weird surveys not worthy putting online. So what's the second?
The second one is like, I think there was a caller named Sherry.
Yes, Sherry, absolutely. What about her?
Yeah, I think I haven't heard from her for a while.
Yeah, I think John asked her to call when she was sober.
Oh, I see. I think.
I leave that to John. I don't make these executive decisions. But there was one where he said, I believe you're drinking. And she said, well, it's your fault. I've been on hold for so long. There's nothing else to do. But like, oh, God. So, we're not promoting drinking on the show. Yes, so that's the deal there.
Oh, I got it now. Okay, yeah. Thank you for that.
Well, yeah. Well, it's always good to hear from you. So are you walking tonight? Are you out and about?
Sorry? I'm walking around, and it's maybe like 2 p.m.
Oh, okay, good. So the middle of the afternoon. What's the temperature?
I'm around 13 degrees Celsius.
Okay.
Celsius answer.
Okay, yeah, Celsius, oh my God. All right, so what am I supposed to do, something like double it and add 72 or something? I don't even remember how to tell the difference, but yeah, Celsius. Celsius, yeah. And what happened to them calling it centigrade? When I was growing up, it was always centigrade or Fahrenheit. Now it's Celsius or Fahrenheit. But centigrade and Celsius are the same thing.
Yeah.
But I don't get it. What happened? What went away?
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, is how much? I'm looking this up in whatever our system is, Fahrenheit, which is, all right. So, okay, 55 and a half degrees. Very nice.
Mm.
All right, and sun shining?
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Yeah, sun shining and people are walking around.
All right. All right, well, knock yourself out, and I'm always glad you called. Talk to you soon, Naoto.
Yeah, I enjoy walking, and thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, appreciate it. All right, so I love it when you take me for a ride, and how nice, you're taking me for a walk. All right, yeah. I love to ride. Not so much crazy about walking, but, you know, we have to do it. So, yeah. Oh, man. All right. We'll get to Frank in Chicago and Fran in Austin and Eduardo in Tampa. And, oh, thank God. Hopefully you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Make it mine. Make it mine. Please make it mine.
Three coins in the fountain, each one seeking happiness. Thrown by three hopeful lovers, which one will the fountain bless? Three hearts in the fountain, each heart longing for its home. There they lie in the fountain, somewhere in the heart of Rome. Which one will the fountain bless? Which one will the fountain bless?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And the Four Aces, that was a hit version in the United States. 1954 got to number one in Billboard. Frank Sinatra did it originally and associated with the movie Three Coins in the Fountain. But it was Dave on the North Side who wanted to hear it, so we decided we'd play him the hit. All right, so 888-876-5593. Frank in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yes, hello. Well, I've got something to talk about.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Jeff the Talking Mongoose? The mongoose is a little animal.
No, I know. Yes, yes, Jeff. That's G-E-F. Yes, and this was the Irving family. I don't know that this is real. Is it?
Well, I don't know either. I'm just mentioning it because for a while there, got international attention.
Well, this goes way back. I mean, wasn't Jeff around in, like, the 30s?
Yes, around in then. Late 20s or early 30s, around in there.
Yeah.
And I heard a couple of years ago, by chance, I saw something about it, and they said they were making a movie of it. But I haven't heard anything since then.
There's a video. I know that on YouTube. I've seen a video as far as it's been a while. But yeah, and apparently, supposedly, this extra clever mongoose was born in New Delhi. That's where they lost me, by the way, around then, in 1852. And he became a malicious household entity that gossiped, threw objects, sang, and many suspected was a hoax. Yes, absolutely. They were fingering the daughter of Ori, who was supposedly a ventriloquist.
Yes, right. You got it down pretty good.
Yeah.
And a very famous psychoanalyst. Later, he was a psychoanalyst in America, but he was just a newspaper reporter from Hungary back then. He was one of the reporters who went out to this house to look up, investigate the story.
Uh-huh.
Nandor Fodor.
Uh-huh. Okay, yes, from the International Institute of Psychical Research. Yes, psychical research. I always loved that. Yeah.
He, Okay, he was connected with that at the time?
Yeah, he was the research officer for the psychical, I love that word, psychical, why not, research, yes. He was the research officer for that. And supposedly he stayed at the house for a week without seeing or hearing Jeff. And he absolutely disbelieved that there was any deliberate deception. However, it was a complex psychological theory that Jeff, was a split off part of Jim Irving's personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It got weird.
Oh, absolutely. Some investigators said it was a poltergeist. I mean, it's too bad that Art Bell wasn't around then, because he would have had a field day.
Yeah. This is a crazy old thing from like decades ago that I heard about when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I've always, ever since then, I went like for 30 years or something, and I didn't hear anything about this case. And then just, a couple of years ago, I saw this thing. It was on YouTube, a little story about it. I thought, old Jeff.
Right.
That old story.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the article in 1932 that said, "Schoolgirl may have powers of ventriloquism." Yeah,
yeah, and there was a famous psychical researcher, must have known Fodor, a different guy called Harry Price.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes,
and when
yes.
he went out there, he went out to investigate, and Jeff wouldn't make. Jeff refused to talk to him. He just stayed silent. They would talk to him, say, "Jeff, come on, I'll talk," and he was just silent.
Well, it's funny because Rex was the editor of The Listener. Well, apparently, he wasn't listening to Jeff.
Yeah. So, and then there's another interesting mystery I'd like to know about. This famous thing I heard about when I was a kid. It's the moving coffins of Barbados, the island called Barbados, which is a country now.
Yeah.
Has a nice flag. And there was this tomb with all these big, heavy coffins in it.
It was a chase
vault. Apparently... Vault?
Yeah, they called it the Chase Vault,
Chase Vault, yes, Chase, that's the family, I think. And they were moving around, it was locked, but allegedly they would open the door up, because they heard noise, I don't know why they opened the door, put a new body in or something, and they found all these coffins all moved around, and, like seemingly impossible, because no hurricane could have done it, or earthquake, or anything.
Yeah.
They're all moved and strewn about.
Yeah.
And then they'd lock it up, and the next time they'd open it up, I think.
They moved again.
Maybe, 10 years later, they were all moved around again. And that's something I'd like to know, whether that was a true story or what.
Very dubious. Way back. Very dubious. But hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll talk about the Chase Vault more coming up on WGN Radio.
Studio musician, we've never met, but you know me well. I am the English horn that played the poignant counterline upon the song you heard while making love in some hotel. I am a part of you. I've never tried for fame. You'll never know my name. I am the strings that enter softly, or three guitars that glitter gold. I am the thousand trumpet lines that were an afterthought, intended as a way to get a dying record sold. I never ride the road, I never play around, I play what they set down.
Ooh, that sounds just terrible. WGN Radio. It is a wonderful song. Maybe not that copy of it. That's for sure. But it is Rupert Holmes from his 1975 epic album entitled Rupert Holmes. And yeah, we're talking about that with Fran last night. All right, so Frank in Chicago. We're going to go back to these mysteries of the dark. Yeah, these are great campfire stories. The Chase Vault story, from what I can tell, there's a few problems with it. One was there was nothing at the time about it, you know, like no contemporaneous newspaper accounts of what was going on. It's more of an urban legend. The other thing is that the story is not always told the same way, even sometimes by the same person. So, you know, that's there was a guy from the church. I don't know what his position was, but some big guy from the church who would tell this story. And notoriously, he didn't always tell it the same way. So, but of course, you know, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle had to get involved. Of course, he thought it was animal magnetism. Okay, fine. But the idea of moving coffins attracted a lot of attention when you're talking about an era that had no television or radio. Why not? But yeah, so nothing in the burial register of Church of Christ would substantiate the actual burials, because that's the other thing. Because at first it was this woman, and then it was like this young child, 2-year-old, and the first person was supposedly Mrs. Goddard, whoever that is, and then Anna Maria Chase comes in a year or two later, and then her older sister, by the way, 12 years old, she comes in. I'm more interested, what did Anna Maria and Dorcas actually die of that they're dead at 2 and 12? But oh well. So they open the vault, and the reason they opened the vault was they were going to bury their father, Thomas Chase. And so he died. And so they're going to put Thomas in with the girls, and they saw the girls, I loved the account, in a confused state. Basically, I think it means their caskets moved around. Yes, apparently having been tossed from their places. And so then after they were put together and no longer confused, the vault was opened again to receive the body of another infant. And once again, now we have four in there, all four coffins, all lead, all heavy, all very much disturbed. And so each time they would replace the coffins to their proper location, three on the ground side by side, the others on top of them. I don't know why, but that was the deal. And then they would close the vault ceremoniously, and the door was a massive stone thing which required seven men to move, and was cemented by masons and all that. Now, the last time the vault was supposedly opened was 1819, when the governor of Barbados, I guess, had enough. This was Lord somebody or other. He opened the coffins. He opened the vault and found that the coffins were confusedly thrown about, some with their heads down and others up. I mean, I assume they don't mean the bodies. They mean the coffins. And so he decided that they would all have to be buried separately on their own. And so that was the end of the mystery, supposedly. But this is Chase Vault's been around. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know all these, what you told me. I just heard the old thing years ago and wondered ever since.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I think part of it started from, because there was nothing in any newspaper or anything like that. But supposedly there was this unpublished firsthand account that showed up. Yeah, right. Isn't that appropriate? And so he claimed he was present at the opening of the vault. So that's when the governor basically said, I've had enough. You're going to inter these bodies separately. And so now the vault was sealed and is empty. Now, of course, if they opened it now and there were caskets in it or coffins in it, that would be really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, if coffins showed up. But something tells me that the vault's still there, and the bricks are intact. No damage from lead-lined moving coffins.
Yeah. Just reminded me, let's throw this in as a little extra. I knew a guy, there was a kind of a cult leader here in Chicago, a minor little kind of harmless cult. He's dead now. And he got arrested down in New Orleans for stealing a skull.
Uh-huh.
He went into, you know, one of those above-ground tombs, and
that's
he stole a skull, and the cops caught him.
Yeah, that's all of them. Everything in New Orleans is above ground. So yes. Well, now, in the particular Chase Vault, you know, part of this is the Masons, okay? Not the ones today, I don't think. But they're talking about that the people involved in the Chase Vault story were ancient and free accepted Masons, Freemasonry and all that. Oh. And so it and they're saying it shows the symbols and the Freemasons would all recognize this. And yeah, right. So, okay, fine. there's no evidence that anyone actually created, or for that matter, hoaxed the story, Freemason or not. Instead, what happened was you hear a good story, you retell it.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I don't know. Now I know more than I did before.
Well, I don't know. It's like the game of telephone. Yeah. You know, if you get people all around in a room, like 20 people sitting around, and first one, you know, says, my car is green. By the time it gets all the way around, it's your cat is dead. You know, it's just,
yeah,
you know, so
yeah.
It's sort of like that. Enough people retold this story? I don't know. But it's fun anyway, and maybe that's a reason to go to Barbados. If I were the travel authority there, I'd want to promote this.
Yeah, makes sense. Oh, and when Naoto came on, I was listening, you know,
Yeah.
And when Naoto came on, I suddenly popped in my mind a mystery from 1943 in Japan.
Yeah.
When there was a battleship, four-letter words, F, and three other words, four letters, Fugu, I think was the title. Anyway, it was sitting there peacefully at dock, and it just suddenly blew up.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't totally blown. I saw a picture of it recently.
Yeah.
I was surprised that it was still, it looked like an intact ship. Yeah.
That's the Mutsu. That's the Mutsu. M-U-T-S-U. The Mutsu.
Mutsu.
That
yeah,
exploded
right.
And sunk. And they're thinking actually it was a fire that did it. And sadly, you know, this is real. 1,121 crew and visitors were killed in this. So this was not an idle ship. It was a dreadnought, and it was a powerful ship in the Japanese fleet as far as that goes. And it was moored, like you say. And the magazine for the number 3 turret detonated, and that caused the ship to capsize and sink immediately, and the stern section floated and all that. So, you know, the investigation concluded that a disgruntled crew member set the fire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. I hadn't heard. I think I'd heard that there might have been a fire, but they also suspected that the ammunition. They had special shells.
Right, the improper of the 16-inch Type 3s. Yeah. You betcha. And that's pretty incendiary. But, you know, the only reason I know about this, and I normally wouldn't know about this at all, but I loved this part. The Japanese Navy swore the survivors to secrecy. They were afraid that telling the story could damage morale. I guess. So they salvaged it in the 70s.
Oh, I heard they cut it up.
Well, yeah, that's right. They salvaged.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Salvage it. Yeah, I thought you meant.
No, they salvaged it. No, they absolutely cut it up. Yes, no doubt about that. And so, you know, to an extent, it's a mystery. But you know, if the military is telling you you can't speak about it, it's sort of like the current mystery of what the hell's been going on in El Paso. Not really for this show, but it does make you wonder. So, you know. I love the story about it being cartel drones, but I don't know. In my lifetime, I've never heard that they were closing the airspace, including air ambulances, for 10 days. Now, they didn't. It was more like 10 hours. But when I first heard that, I thought, what? That's a little close for comfort here. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever know.
Now, with the battleships, this has happened before with other navies.
Yeah.
The French battleships way back more than 100 years ago, like 1910 or something, somewhere back in there, a number of them blew up. They just blew up on them by themselves, and that was thought to be caused by unstable explosives.
Yeah, well, how about the USS Iowa? And that's just 1989. That was the explosion within the number two turret. During a fleet exercise. Yeah, so this happens. The Maine, that's like 1900 or so thereabouts.
Yeah, the Maine.
Right. And there were many others. So the USS Arizona, of course, that was destroyed during the Pearl Harbor attack. But there was Roma, that Italian battleship. And there's...
Oh, the Roma? Oh, yeah. Okay. I know about that.
That was 1943. But it probably exploded after the Germans hit it.
Well, they used a bomb called the Fritz X.
Exactly. So, yeah, but we still don't have many large battleships exploding. But occasionally, like the Hood was hit by the Bismarck, and that was destroyed in minutes. So,
by the way, there's a very spectacular film footage, which anyone can see. It's on, it's all over, of the Barnum. A British battleship that was torpedoed by a German submarine in the Mediterranean Sea, north of Egypt. And if the ship turns over, they got this on film because they had airplanes flying around filming it. And you see the ship turn over, and then all of a sudden there's a very spectacular explosion. It just, it killed all those men you see.
Oh, yeah.
Probably died because of that.
Of course.
And it's very spectacular. And I've seen this, numerous times.
Yeah, I think it capsized within 4 minutes. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
Very spectacular.
Absolutely. Well, not for the 862 people who didn't live to talk about it, but for everybody else.
But
a battleship is going to have ammo, and therein lies the weak point.
Yeah,
because that ammunition gets in the mix, it's going up.
Yeah. What was I going to say? It was something else. What was I going to say? Something else. But anyway.
Oh, believe me, I relate so strongly. When you think of it, call me back, but don't wait that long.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Here's a tune. Here's a nice little tune you might want to play if I might make a request.
Mm.
There's a movie in the 70s called The Molly Maguires, who were a bunch of kind of like union guys in Pennsylvania, working in the coal mines. That's who the Molly Maguires were, who protested their conditions by blowing things up with dynamite.
That'll do it.
So the Pinkertons, the famous detective agency, the Pinkertons got a spy to go in and infiltrate them and become one of them. And so the movie, The Molly Maguires, is about what happened. And the movie's just so-so. I don't recommend it. But the tune, the original, they had an original new tune, I think, was written for the movie. And it's a real, real good tune. It's the kind of thing that would be played by a flute or a piccolo or something like that. And it's extremely nice little tune, fresh, So if you could find that, that would be nice to hear it again, because I haven't heard that tune for years and years. It comes on the radio every now and then.
You don't know what it is?
It's the theme or the melody of that movie, Molly Maguire.
Yeah, it was a Sean Connery movie. I'll try to find it. When you first said working in a coal mine, I said, I'll play that, working in a coal mine. But I know. Yeah, that you don't have to twist my arm. That's an interesting story, though. Actually, I was along the same lines tomorrow night in Globe, where we have the radio stations. They're doing a presentation on the infiltration of a World War I strike with the Industrial Workers of the World, the IWW, and that wound up undercover espionage agents from the government and all that wound up sending a bunch of people to Leavenworth.
Huh.
So, yeah. That the IWW was really big in mining labor unions, and Globe Miami was like the epicenter of this. And so, so yes,
what's
the robust anti-war,
like
the weather's fine. Today, right now, it's probably 75 degrees, was today, maybe. But,
like,
you know,
what would it be at noon when it's warm?
Yeah,
what would the temperature be like?
Well, here's the deal. It's going to be really nice now, but I never brag about this because in July, it's going to be 120.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so every place, it's just there's no great place. But John says I got to shut up and play commercials. So somebody has to make money and it's not me. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Good deal on WGN Radio.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon?
We could float among the stars together, you and I.
For we can fly.
We can fly.
Up and away.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So Marty in Chicago called last night and asked me to play that, and I promised I would tonight, and so there it is. One promise fulfilled, I don't know, 400 to go. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And let's see, we got a couple minutes this hour, so we'll start with Fran. So Fran, what's up tonight? We've lost Fran. All right. Well, she was probably calling to keep me company, which God love her for that. Yeah, I was talking to myself for far too long. All right. So instead, we'll see what Cleveland Dennis wants to hear. So, all right, Cleveland Dennis, what is it you want to hear?
Well, I wanted to mention, I know what SOS stands for. Stop her on sight.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, 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 yes. Couldn't agree with you more. Yes.
Good. 66 or 67. I loved almost everything he did, from Agent 00 Soul and Hitline News. So if you could play a couple, in particular, SOS and Hitline News, I'd be happy.
Yeah, all that Golden World Heretic stuff. Yeah, okay. I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, wasn't that part of Motown?
Later. He bought it. Barry wanted to buy it. But no, originally, Joanne Bratton and... why can't I think of the guy who started it? Because I have his phone number as one of my passwords. Okay, his home phone number. But I'm trying to think of his name. Oh, well. It'll come
really?
To me. It'll, yes, Golden World. God, why? Oh, this is terrible.
In the
Wingate,
meantime,
Ed Wingate. Ed Wingate. Ed Wingate. Ed Wingate started Golden World.
Yeah.
That would have killed me if I couldn't come up with that name. Hell, I got his phone number. So, yeah. No, those are great little labels. And, yes, Barry Gordy ultimately bought them.
Yeah. Well, there were songs at the time.
You've ended the hour, and you will hear them, I promise.
All right.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate
it. That's all I got.
Okay, good. So, yes, Edwin Starr, you betcha. That's right. All right, so pick it up there right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
I found a love that
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James, and there he is, Edwin Starr, Headline News. Yeah, that's what Cleveland Dennis wanted to hear, and happy to do that. That was on Rictic, and Rictic was a subsidiary of Golden World, and Eddie Wingate and Joanne Bratton owned that. And Joanne had been married to a boxer, Johnny Bratton, I think was his name, but in any event, they divorced because he literally lost his mind from boxing. He was institutionalized. But they had a child, Derek, and a child died when 11 years old. And so they named the label Rictic after Eric, and so or Derek, either way. But that was the deal. Yeah, Joanne did not take that well. Well, who would, obviously, but I mean, particularly hard for her. So, but Rictic had some great little records and great little artists, including, of course, Edwin Starr, Harlem News. So, April of 1966 for Cleveland Dennis. So, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And, all right, Fran called back. We apparently lost
her. I'm back.
Oh, yes. Well, good, you're good.
It was so funny because right before you went to my line, right in the middle of a word, I was cut off. And I thought, I don't know why that's happening. I'm using my so-called, well, what passes for a landline phone.
Yeah, right. And we don't know about those. It looks like a landline at your end, but between you and the CO, who knows what it is?
Right. So, but anyway, I was hanging in there, but
yeah.
But you were talking at the beginning of the show about the talking dolls.
Oh yeah,
and I had a bunch of them.
Really?
I of course had Chatty Cathy.
Right.
And I had one called Susie Smart.
Okay.
And, you know, it would say, you know, C-A-T spells cat, you know, or, you know, whatever, various things that it would say. And then I had, and I've never heard of anybody else having this one, I had a Beatnik doll.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, she had the long hair and the black stockings and the, you know, and she would scat sing. You know, that kind of thing. And she would say, "Man, dig that crazy beat."
Interestingly, the Beatnik doll was also from the makers of Chatty Cathy, good old Mattel. And that was the Beatnik doll, 1964 Mattel Scooby-Doo. No relation to Scooby-Doo, obviously. It was a 22-inch vintage talking doll with a vinyl head and cloth body featuring a pull-string mechanism. And apparently they're very sought after. You don't have yours still, do you? Could mean money.
No, I wish I did.
Yeah. And so
I think my mom had it, and I think she gave it to my cousin, which I was really mad. She left all the dolls to my cousin.
Oh.
And I said, I told her, but I want all my dolls.
Yeah.
She collected dolls, but I said, you know, I want all my dolls, but I didn't get them.
Well, actually, I just see one for sale here, only $100. So that's not that that's nothing, because, of course, they were nothing when they came out, but still, $100, I would have thought they were worth a lot more than that.
I would have thought so, too. So I was thinking, I wish I still had it. It'd probably be worth something, but I'd probably just keep it because, you know,
well, sure.
Fun. But my favorite one that I had was the Little Miss Echo doll.
Okay.
And it had, I don't know how it did it, but it had some kind of tape recorder loop thing in its stomach. And you would turn the little switch one way and you record something and then you play it back.
Yeah. Yeah, now there's a bunch of those that are on eBay I see from time to time.
Oh, I loved it because I used to use, I'm a bad girl, I used to use it to spy on my family.
Oh, perfect.
You know, because I could just lay the doll on the couch and go along.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And hear exactly, because, you know, especially if I heard something about, you know, something about, like, one time my mom got some kind of letter from the school about me, and I got to hear the whole discussion about it.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, this was like 62 to 66 or so, and it was, I know they marketed it as the doll you teach to talk, And I don't know how it worked. I mean, they claimed it has a built-in phonograph recorder in her torso. I don't think that's the way it did it. But in any event, yeah.
I don't know. I opened it up.
Yeah?
Because, you know, and there was something in there.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could open the stomach, and there's, you know, it didn't look like anything I recognized, but... You know, I had seen reel-to-reel tape recorders, and so I thought, well, I wonder if it's got a tape in there or
yeah,
what it has. And I can't remember. It didn't record very long, and, of course, it wouldn't save anything if you want, you know.
Right.
Once you record it, you record over it. But,
Yes, it was $14.99 in the 1965 Sears Christmas Wish Book, battery separately.
Wow. Yeah, one year my mom went all out and she bought me all these talking dolls.
All right.
I guess she was trying to make a regular girl out of me one way or another.
Right, yeah, right. Let her talk to the dolls.
I didn't really care about, you know, she got me Barbies. What am I going to do with Barbies? I didn't care about them. And, you know, all these other dolls, and I didn't care about them. What I really wanted was a train set, and my little cousins, my boy cousins, of course, got dump trucks and cars, and I wanted to play with those.
Well, sure, and around that time, I would have been lusting for slot cars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I always wanted a train set, never got one.
Yeah.
I wanted a set of electric trains and... You know, one of these days, maybe I'll just get me one just because I can, you know?
Well, absolutely. You betcha. Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Yeah. It had to be a continuous loop tape recorder. I mean, it could not, you know, they say phonograph. It couldn't have been. It had to be some type of tape loop.
Yeah, because I didn't recognize the machinery that was in there. But, of course, you know, being curious and... You know, all of this, I had to open it up once I found out I could open it up.
Right. Well, the switch was in, like, the bow tie thing of the dress. That was the switch for the damn thing. So,
Yeah, exactly,
or it would go back. There's a YouTube video, not that you can see it, but nonetheless, Little Miss Echo gets her voice back, a fairly in-depth explanation of how to repair a broken audio tape and install a new one in vintage Little Miss Echo.
Oh, wow. You know, Mattel had a cool thing, too. It was the doll hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And it was quite a ways from our house, but... you know, I was always breaking the string on my Chatty Cathy and that sort of thing. And so, you know, Chatty Cathy, or I called her Alice.
Right, okay.
Alice is sick. You know, so Mom would drive me to this place.
Yeah.
And they would say, you know, ask me what was the matter. And I said, you know, Alice can't talk. And so... What they did was they just went in the back and got me a new doll. And
no, but some of those,
I didn't know.
Some of those hospitals were wonderfully elaborate for kids. I mean, they'd put it in the bed and all that kind of stuff. And she said, well, we may have to perform some surgery and all this stuff. Yeah, I remember that. I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, they used to do that. Yeah. And they gave me, you know, little candy pills. And they said, give her two of these every 4 hours.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I mean, very serious and, you know,
yeah,
concerned. And you know, thinking back on that, I think that was just so great.
Yeah, it's a good bit. It really is a good bit. You betcha.
And, you know, it took us a long, it was a long drive. I don't remember where exactly it was, but, you know, Mom used to drive me over there with my doll and I'd, you know.
Yeah.
Get her all fixed up.
Right. Exactly. And, I think in L.A. that might have been out in the San Fernando Valley. But
out in where?
San Fernando Valley, you know.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a waste. Yeah, because we lived near Huntington Park.
Right, exactly. So that would have been pretty far. And, of course, the 405 didn't exist. So, yeah. But there were several as far as that goes. There was
maybe
one.
Maybe that was when we lived in, because for a while we lived in Newhall.
Well, now, okay. How about there was one on Walnut Street, and where the hell was that? And that was like Pasadena.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, I don't know. I just know that it took a while to get there.
Yeah. Well, neat. Good memories.
Yeah.
All right. I'm so glad you called. Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate being saved. All right. Yes. So 888-876-5593. Yeah, I remember those dollhouse. I thought that was the best gimmick. And let's see. What do we have? Mitch in Baghdad. Welcome back to WGN Radio. I hope you heard your request. I played it. Mitch. Well, I don't know if Mitch heard it or not because he's gone now. All right, but thanks for trying to wait. I appreciate that. Let's see. Billy Bob and Bourbon A, are you still hanging in there?
Yeah.
All right.
We broke the 80 barrier today.
Oh, okay.
The phone calls.
Yes, I'm
sure. Hey, but you were speaking earlier about the 1890s with Alfred Beach, did you say, was the guy that invented the subway, underground subway there in Boston?
Yeah.
There was a group in the 70s called Klaatu. Did you ever hear that group?
Yes, unfortunately I have. Calling All Occupants.
They had a song called...
Calling All Occupants.
Right, but they had another song on that album called Sub Rose of Subway, and it's a song about that Alfred Beach building the underground subway, and I never realized that that was based on fact.
Oh, yeah.
And then that Klaatu... They were named after a movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah that Sub Rosa Subway came out in the 70s, but and it was all about his pneumatic, but the pneumatic was actually 1870 in New York, but yes.
Okay. Well, but, you probably don't like that one, but if you could replay that one, that's what I'd like to request that.
I'll look for it, especially that little Morse code section at the end. So I don't know if it says Hermalford.
Was that Klaatu? Yeah. That was based on the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah, sure it was.
Patricia Neal was in it, and Aunt B, and the little boy was the guy from A Father Knows Best, Bud.
All right. Yeah, I've got it, Billy Bob.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, so yeah, it actually existed. Not there, but it did exist. All right, so Mitch called back. All right, Mitch, what's up?
I'm so embarrassed. I need to be in a nursing home. I'm 66. I'll be 67 in June, and I fell asleep. And when you said Mitch, I woke up.
Oh, wow. Well, sleep is sacred. Don't let me interrupt.
No. I can just drift off at the drop of a hat. I'm in my bed laying down, and I've got a kerosene heater, which makes it really toasty in here.
I'll bet.
So, anyway, can you play The Age of Aquarius by...
No, I just won't.
The Fifth Dimension?
No, I absolutely won't.
You hate it?
Yeah. I played your other request, though. I hope you heard it.
I didn't hear it.
Oh, so. Yeah, you had a request, and I played it. Oh, well.
Yeah, okay. But, what about Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel? And I can't
think of
the
group. Tavares.
You like that?
Yeah, Tavares. I love it.
Yeah, Tavares. Exactly. I love that song.
Yeah, me too.
That was in the Charlie's Angel movie.
Oh, yeah? Well, okay. Well, I'll play it for you.
Yeah, Cameron Diaz is dancing to it.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be happy to play.
Last week... You were talking to some lady, and before I came out, I was listening, and I thought that was refreshing how you're so candid about, you said Madonna was very unattractive.
Well, she is.
And
but,
I just thought,
but, you know,
I know, but it just you just come out and say it, though.
Well, you know, but again, I would hire her to market anything. I mean, this...
Oh, yeah, she's great. I love Madonna.
Yeah, I mean, those looks... tells America she's a sex symbol and people buy it. I don't care what she's selling. Yeah, absolutely. You know, just the best marketer
ever. Remember when she was in Dick Tracy and she had black eyebrows and blonde hair?
Yeah. Well, that was kind of her look.
I was like, she looked like Groucho Marx.
All right.
A little bit. Because the black... How do you get black eyebrows and blonde hair?
Bleaching it.
Yeah, but it just doesn't look right.
Oh, a lot of people do it.
It's a conflict.
Well, yeah.
Well, anyway, that got me thinking. There was a video. This was back in when they had VHS and Fleetwood Mac. It was Tango in the Night live. And Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham were fighting, so they hired a different lead guitar.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
No, I'm not a Fleetwood Mac fan. Not any, not any incarnation of them. When they were hard rock or when they were soft AC, didn't like any of it.
Oh, well, they got that was really big. Rumors was really big, wasn't it?
Yo, no, absolutely it was. I mean, I can't take away their success. Certainly in their 70s AC period. I just don't want to have to hear it.
I was following them real close, especially Stevie Nicks. And I got the Tango of the Night video, and she's doing, I think it's Stand Back or something. She does her songs when they do Fleetwood Mac. And she's, like, singing to the guitarist. Well, this is what I read later. I think she got Botox injections before the concert or something.
Okay.
And she looks puffy. It's just really odd. And they get a close-up of her. And you're just like, what the hell? And the guy she's singing to, she's singing Sang Back to, they kind of get face-to-face. Her and Lindsay used to do that. And he looks like he's terrified, but he's trying to smile. But what's weird about it, if you get that streaming, that same video streaming, she's took it away. It's gone. She's replaced it with old videos from, you know, old concerts like nobody would notice.
Well, probably a wise thing to say based on how you describe it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you look that bad, why wouldn't you cancel the concert or not even show up?
No, do you know how much money you're riding on those concerts? So what if you got a couple lumps on your face?
I guess she got the Botox injection. She's like, oh, my God, I have to go on.
She absolutely had to go on. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but it's just bizarre when they get a big close-up of her. And then I saw that online because you can only watch it online because they don't do VHS no more. But so I was like, wait a minute, that's not the footage from the concert.
Yeah,
that's something else.
Yeah, she probably said, get rid of that.
She's really vain. I've heard that she would like trash entire like $200,000, you know, videos for MTV because she thought she looked fat or something.
Yeah, well, you know, that's her image. And okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, always good to talk to you. Thank you. Thank you, Mitch. Thanks for calling back.
Okay.
Bye.
And next time I'll try to stay awake.
Oh, no. Sleep is sacred. Enjoy it. Get all you can. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Bye, Raleigh.
We'll pick it up after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Boom, 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 boom. Woo!
Said you love me, and I started laughing. You told me that you needed me, but I kept on laughing. You vowed that you wanted me, but I was still laughing at you. I learned to love you. Started laughing. I told you that I needed you, but you kept on laughing. I vowed that I wanted you. Now everyone's laughing at me.
Boom, 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 boom.
Laugh and the world laughs with you. Cry and you cry alone. I hear the whole world laughing, and I'm sitting here all alone. How could you be so rude? Well, okay, keep on laughing. They know I'm the one big fool. Now
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that was one of Jimmy P's six-pack, and what a fine choice. The Spaniels. Everyone's Laughing. 1957 on VJ. Gary's Finest. Man, I'll tell you what, love the Spaniels. All right, so Johnny is in Austin. All right, Johnny, get down with your bad self. How are you feeling tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Oh, I've been better. But in any event, what's going on Sunday night? on sound.
Oh, well, I'll tell you that in just a second.
Okay.
But I wanted to hit on a couple of things first. I was listening to Cleveland Dennis talking about Edwin Starr.
Yeah.
And speaking of Sunday night when we do the Soul of the City radio show,
yeah,
which I'll tell you to your listeners about that haven't heard about it in a little bit, but he mentioned Edwin Starr, and on that show we play a ton of Edwin Starr.
Oh, yeah.
And back when I was at KYOK in Houston, my first radio job in 1965, I met Edwin Starr. He came through, and he was having hit after hit. And so when Cleveland Dennis was asking for songs like Backstreet, I'm like, what? No. He was asking
headline news, yeah.
But back when I was at KYLK, you know, his big ones were Agent 00 Soul, Stopper on Sight.
Right.
Backstreet, that was a good one, too.
Yes, absolutely, 1966.
Had another one called There You Go at some point. But Edwin Starr, I don't remember much about him, although I met him, but he did come through the station, and his music is really good.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting.
Maybe, am I correct by saying, did he do a version of I Am Your Man that Brian Shaw did? I can't remember.
I think so, but I don't think it was a single.
Do I have permission to tell your listeners how I met you? Because I'm going somewhere with this, and it's not scary.
No, sure, absolutely.
Back in the 80s, Raleigh had a company, and correct me if I say anything off here that I'm not correct on. But anyway, she traveled from large markets to large markets in a market analysis of every station in a certain market. So back in 1986 or 87, she came through Houston, and my manager at KFMK at the time, Dan Mason, said, there's somebody coming through here, and I think you two would get along quite well. Who is it? He said, well, her name is Raleigh. And I said, I've never heard of Raleigh. He said, well, you two need to meet. So anyway, you came through KFMK back in, well, this it was called Mediatrics.
Yeah.
And I've got the book here on the Houston market that you did.
And you
it
helped.
Includes,
you had some wonderful stuff in there. And my all-time favorite was the guy vacuuming the control board.
The guy was vacuuming? Was I vacuuming the control board?
No, it wasn't you, but you gave me some archive pictures. And one of these pictures...
Oh, I did. Well, here's the funny part about where I was going. The day you happened to be doing this analysis of KFMK that I was on, I was doing a feature every day at noon called the Brown Bag Special, and that's where we'd feature a certain artist every day, and we'd play 30 minutes or so of their greatest hits. You know, it might be The Miracles, it could have been The Temptations, it could have been Ricky Nelson, you name it.
Yeah.
But the day that you were in town doing this market analysis, the Brown Bag Special was, guess?
Edwin Starr.
No, it was the Fifth Dimension.
Oh, hell.
It was.
I believe
so,
it.
So here you're listed in your book here was all the songs I played by the Fifth Dimension within between 12 noon and 12:35.
How about that?
And I'll tell you this, too, that... that song, Ashes to Ashes, you played last night was one of my favorite songs of all time.
Oh, yeah. It is a great song. Yeah, the Fifth Dimension, you probably heard me play the intervals, Here's That Rainy Day. And, I was thinking when they were doing all the obit stuff for Lamont McLemore, I thought, wow, well, if they really knew what they were doing, they'd play some of Here's That Rainy Day.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. You were losing my voice for some reason. But when you were talking about the Fifth Dimension last night and played that Ashes to Ashes, I was just blown away. But they, you know, I mean, that Aquarius Let the Sunshine In, of course, I was program director at KRBE at that time back in 69,
mm-hmm.
and we were playing that. And another horrible one that just we were playing to death was the Cow Sills and Hair.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely, and they're both very similar. You're 100% right. And but they were
hard
hits.
To take.
You know, there was no way not to when you're doing hit radio. But you know, I just don't want to have to hear them.
Well, you know that, you know, being a DJ or air person or whatever I was, the thing about playing music that you love, after you play, like, My Girl, which is a great song, so many times you become numb to it.
Oh, of course.
And some songs you never do play enough of to be numb to them, but there are few of them.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
You were asking me about the show that I do on Sunday night. Excuse my voice. It's just a shot. It's on the Internet, and it's called Soul of the City. It's a six-hour show, basically non-commercial, so there's about 18 to 20 songs an hour. And they're all soul and classic R&B. And if you've never heard the show before, it's something I've had in my head for years. And we launched this when did we launch it? June 15th, I think?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time. So it's been on the air every Sunday night, Central Standard Time, from 6 p.m. to midnight. And you can get, and there's no archives, unfortunately, so you got to listen in real time.
Yeah.
If you'd like to hear it. And it's soulofthecity.net.
Yes.
That's soulofthecity.net. And if you happen to listen on Alexa, or you got a C-Crane or Grace Internet Radio, the flagship station of this show, and I don't want to confuse you because it'll take you to the same place, is called Houston Radio Platinum.com.
Right.
But if you want to get to my page, go to soulofthecity.net, and it's got archive pictures of the radio stations I work for, and it's got the Texas Radio Hall of Fame 3-minute video of a conglomeration of my radio days. And and then, of course, on this radio show on Sunday nights, if you never heard it before, it's all classic soul and R&B with a good emphasis on Motown, but not predominantly so.
So who is on tap for this week?
I don't have the log yet. I've got last week's log. Oh, and another feature that we play on there, too, once an hour, is a classic soul DJ of long ago.
Yeah, okay. So do you know who you're going to have on that this week?
I don't know.
Okay.
The log hasn't generated yet, so I don't really know. For example, like last week, we played a couple of Jealous songs. We played Jealous Kind of Fella by Garland Green.
And Little Royal.
And Jealous by Little Royal.
Little Royal, yeah. Absolutely.
And we play like What It Comes Down To by the Isley Brothers.
Yeah.
Junior Walker and the All-Stars. We play a lot of them. By the way, speaking of Junior Walker and the All-Stars, here's a real rare one, and I don't know if you have access to it, but it would be cool if you could play it. It's called Riding High on Love.
I think I may have that on this computer. I'll look for that.
It's a great song.
All right.
I mean, I'm a big Junior Walker guy, but we play a lot of Gladys Knight, Jimmy Ruffin. Here I am stuck in a Motown. Oh, and last week we played one of your favorites, too, called The Time Will Come by The Whispers.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. That's so good. Johnny Bristol. We're big on Johnny Bristol. Jerry Butler. Actually, last week played Raindrops by Dee Clark, which goes back a while.
Still a great record.
Radiance, a lot of Aretha Franklin, Stevie Wonder, Willie T. Remember the Willie T?
T's and You and Thank You, John. And, of course, I remember them all.
We did You're Not an Ordinary Girl by the Temptations. Leon Haywood, It's Got to Be
Mellow.
Yeah,
what a great record.
Billy Jackson was in there. Syl Johnson.
Yeah.
Of course, Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions. Earth, Wind, and Fire. John would like that. Johnny Taylor. Etta James. Yeah. Sam Cooke. All these great artists. Major Lance. Otis Redding. The Flirtations, Nothing But a Heartache.
Oh, yeah.
So your listeners kind of get the impression of what we do play.
Right.
So, you know, Sunday night's a heck of a time to try to get a radio audience. It's the worst time to be on the radio because they're wrapping up the weekend and they're busy, you know?
No, it's the second worst. Sunday morning would be worse.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. I used to do a Sunday morning show on KFMK in Houston, and it had a ton of listeners.
Well, it must have been pretty late Sunday morning.
It was 8 to noon.
Really? Man, all I ever heard was God Squad at those hours.
One.
Wow. Well, good for you.
And then it got so popular they wanted to play it on Sunday morning and then play a different version of that show on Sunday night from 8 to midnight.
Oh.
And that was okay, but they kind of watered it down a little bit. I wasn't too crazy about them doing that. But.
All right. I'm going to play Riding High on Love for you next because I do have it.
Have you heard that song?
Yeah, it's on Cellar Full of Motown.
Huh?
It's on Cellar Full of Motown. So it was.
Yes. Exactly.
It was on an album. Johnny Bristol produced it. Since you mentioned Johnny Bristol,
Love him. We play a lot of him too.
Yeah, but it was on that album, A Gas, that Junior Walker and the All Stars did in 1970, and then it was on that Cellar Full CD. So yeah, I'm familiar with the record.
Your level got real low for some reason. I don't know.
I'm probably
am I putting you to sleep.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I let's put it this way. I got 10 minutes to go, and we'll see if I live that long. It's like that tonight.
Do you have it? I'm checking the clock. Oh my gosh, you got a break?
Yeah, I do. I guess I should do that. So. So,
well, with that, I guess I
will talk.
Should I hang up now?
Yeah, I guess. yes, and call earlier next time. You know, the first hour and a half, oh, man, I was talking to myself and not pleased about it.
So, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, anyway, for your listeners who'd like to hear the Soul of the City this Sunday night, soulofthecity.net, you can actually go to that and prowl around and look at some old pictures and
stuff
too, if you want.
And I'll put another link on
Raleigh.
Okay,
Raleigh, I'm out of here.
Talk to you soon.
Have a good weekend.
Okay, bye. All right. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
All right, so 888, no, don't give out the phone number. Every line's lit, and I'm not going to have time. Why am I doing that? Because I'm a creature of habit like everybody else. So we'll pick it up there and hopefully get to as many people as we can. We'll do a little of Riding High on Love, and then we'll do a little hit and get and try to get many folks in here in the waning moments on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. I could listen to that whole song. I love it. Riding High on Love. So that's for Johnny, and I appreciate his calling. All right, now let's see. It is 55:41, and this I've got 4 minutes. How do I do this? Well, I do this quickly. Scott in Huntington, Indiana, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, what's up? Tell me quickly. Sorry about that.
Okay, I wanted to know. I lost my seed dealer for growing vegetable seeds.
Yes.
About 8 years ago, I'm having trouble finding a good seed company, or is there a site I can go to locate some good, there's Burpee and all them. I don't use those. I'm looking for better.
You can go online, and the first thing you'll get a lot of them, but, you know, like Weigel, George Weigel, or Gardner Supply, Gurney's. I'm trying to think of who else is up there. But there's a lot of them. And if all else fails, I bet you the site, I'm just guessing, but I bet you the site for I can't think of the name of it right now, but the old Gardener's Almanac. I forget. I'll find it.
What, the Farmer's Almanac?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of which one it was. One of them went out of business, but one of them's still there. I've got it in the bathroom. All right. I promise you that next Tuesday, after Monday Night Trivia, if you call me back, especially if you call me early, I will hopefully have a list for you.
Okay.
All right. But you'll find it if you start looking.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yes, you too. All right. Appreciate that. All right, bye. So good deal. All right, so yeah, that's the internet's good for that too. There's a lot of them. All right, so let's see. We've got Russ in Chicago. All right, it's your minute, Russ. Or not. Russ has left us. Well, sleep well, Russ. Hopefully you did. So Mark in Aurora, I'm 50-50 if he's awake. We'll find out here in a moment. So, all right, if I can get the twanger out here. Yeah, suddenly my twanger's failing me. Why? All right. When all else fails, just throw it against the wall like that. Mark in Aurora, welcome back to WGN Radio. Nope, we lost Mark. All right, well, this is going to be good, actually, because that means we've got Ralph and Eduardo. And can we do it both? Well, we're going to try. So, Ralph, welcome back to WGN Radio. Well, all right, Ralph. So now, well, this is one way. I'll be talking to myself for the last 3 minutes the way it's going. Did Eduardo hang in there? We'll find out. Coming up next. Okay, Eduardo, are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay. I thought you lost me because...
Nope, I got you.
A long time, but
I got you, and you got a minute and a half. Go
quickly,
for it.
I had a good time at the Florida State Fair. Today,
good, good.
With my family. Watching the animals here. But I wanted to mention this guy, 13 years old from Perth, Australia, swam 4 hours to get help for his family that was stranded out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were kayaking.
Mm-hmm.
Great story. I mean, good. I'm glad this kid's going to grow up to be a good adult. But good
absolutely.
For him.
Absolutely.
He's a teen hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a good story. That's one of those feel-good stories. Austin Apple.
Yeah.
Austin
All right, Riley,
Applebee.
Well, have a good week, and we'll talk next week.
All right, thanks. I'm looking forward to it. All right, so now, let's see. John says no, Russ might be there. All right, well, he's got 30 seconds if he is. All right, so let's see if he is. So, Russ, are you with me? I guess not. All right, so that's a wrap, pretty much. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls and most of all you for calling. In the second half of the show, it was really brisk. Where were you the first? John thinks you go to sleep for the first hour and a half. Maybe so, I don't know. Monday night, full show starting at 10, Monday night trivia. And I think all of next week is full shows. But I'll know that and I'll research it, put it on the website along with Johnny and soulofthecity.net and more. All right. So thanks for listening. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.